Yay. Yay. Happy New Year, everybody. I love that today just happened to be the Feast of Epiphany. Because what are we talking about today? We are talking about that new beginning, the new year, our white stone ceremony, this place where we pull out, we listen to, we're going to go deep and find that word, that touchstone place for us for 2019. Of course, last week we did the burning bowl and we got rid of a bunch of stuff. And what we talked about last week was making sure that energetically, we know that nature abhors a vacuum. So when we let go of something, something wants to come in and fill that space. So we are filling that space. If you've done your homework this week, you've probably been pondering what that is. Not resolutions, but intentions and decisions. And there's a whole lot of different energy in decision rather than, you know, a resolution like, oh, I may, kind of, sort of, and tomorrow I'll forget about it. Deciding to do something, deciding where you feel it from head to toe, all the way through your body energetically, you know when you're ready to do it, you're going to do it. I saw a meme on social media yesterday, and it said, when you're going to do something, you will do whatever it takes to do it. Shorter version was, and when you don't, you'll find the excuses. Let me shorten that. I think it said, when you want to do something, you'll find a way. When you don't want to do something, you'll find excuses. Yeah. So the history of the White Stone Ceremony, especially in New Thought churches, it actually goes back prior to that. If you do some research on the White Stone, the context that we use it in is moving in, we get a new name. When we have overcome something, when we have paid our dues, and back in during the Roman Empire, that exactly what it was. When somebody was released from prison, they were given a white stone with a new name on it so that if anybody questioned them, why are you out, they could pull the stone out of their pocket and say, I did my time. I've overcome. I've changed. I've done my dues. If you research it further, what you'll find is it also was an award. It was used as for athletes. It was like instead of getting a medal, you got a white stone that said you accomplished something, you were victorious, you overcame some kind of a challenge to win something. The white, in metaphysical terms, is very significant because it means victory. It means overcoming, it means purification, and it also means joy. So we think about this, and we talked about this last week a little bit too, is when we let go of something, we want to be happy that we're letting go of it, right? We don't want it anymore. So yay when it's gone. And yay for welcoming in the new thing that we are guiding our energy towards. The white stones that we have here in Unity of Wimberley actually come from Jerusalem. They are limestone and dolomite. They got a little bit more of a, than the rough limestone you find here in Texas. It's got a little bit more of a polish or a I don't know what you'd say, not a sheen, because they're not shiny. But they do come directly from Jerusalem. And I want to share this with you. Our administrator, Leah, sent this when I was asking about if we were still getting our white stones from Jerusalem, and she said, yeah. And they send this whole printout. Sherry Conway's nodding because she used to order them. And I have to read this because the first part of this is really kind of interesting. And they give you a whole thing about the white stone ceremony and the history and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But what I love what they say, it says, the white stone is an ancient ritual. Back in the time when Jesus was teaching and someone served time in prison or in bondage of any kind, they were given a white stone when they were released. Each of us comes from bondage today and we are being given a white stone to signify our freedom. This is the part that I love. All of your past nonsense was a prison to you. All that nonsense. But now you are free to go and be and do anything you wish. I love that. And that's really true. Our nonsense, our past nonsense. When you move to a new place, when you go to a new level of consciousness, when you know you have healed something, when you know you have forgiven something, and you years down the line and you look back and you go, oh my God, I was such an idiot. Do you not? Am I the only one that does that? Okay. Well, all of my past nonsense is being released. And I love this too. They said, another tool that we use to overcome and correct the faults and shortcomings in our intellectual nature is the use of denial and affirmations. We talk about denials and affirmations a lot in this practice. When we use this tool, we train our intellect to connect our sense of I am only to divine ideas instead of erroneous beliefs and negative emotions. Charles Fillmore taught that the correct use of denial and affirmations would eventually spiritualize the whole intellect. So that lest we get wrapped up too much in the intellectual thinking part of it, which is what we focus, is managing our thoughts, we get to that point where we embody it so much, we spiritualize the intellectual part of us. We connect, we make the connection between head and heart. So in last week's, we just started, as Reverend Jill said, we just started the This Thing Called You book. The book by Ernest Holmes called This Thing Called You book. Yes. And what we talked about last week was exactly what the daily word, the prayer, and everything was about, is that divine impulse, the divine urge, the creative impulse that we all have, that thing that we call God. And we talk about it in the sense of that we are always evolving, we are always growing, even when we think we're stuck in our own lives, there's something happening in us. And that spirit of God, that love, and that really is it, the love that was imbued in us to express and grow and express greater and greater things in our lives, more joy, more love, more prosperity, better health, just all around lifting the vibration of the planet. We've all got it. It's in every single one of us. When we think about nature as a whole, everything in nature has that divine urge. It has that creative impulse. If you think about some of the beautiful live oaks out here on this property, little tiny acorns create those things. The potential in that seed knows what it is going to become. It knows what it is supposed to become. There is a divine pattern to its becoming a live oak. The difference between us as humans and the rest of nature is that we have that thing called free will and choice. And you think about the tree standing out there in the yard, planted deep roots. The tree does not have the choice or the free will to say, hey, I don't like the view. I'm going to pull myself out of the ground and move over a few feet, right? But we do. That's the difference. We have the divine urge all the time. It is always giving us information. We are always getting feedback for the direction that we should be heading in our, not should be, but is open to us to head so that we are expressing our highest and best. Our free will and our choices, we can ignore it, right? You may have had, somebody may have had at a very young age, you know, I want to be an athlete. I want to play soccer. But the conditions and the things around you may have said, no, you're clumsy. You'll never overcome that. And like I said, that intention, if you want to do it, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find excuses. Or you let the excuses keep you from your highest and best. The divine urge to create music, to study science, to study the cosmos, all of those things, they're just not, it's not, the creative energy is not just like in the arts and in, you know, making quilts or anything like that. It is in everything that we do. The divine urge to teach, the divine urge to raise children, it's always there, it's always present. And our only block to it is the stuff that we, I hope you worked on releasing for good last week. And that divine urge there is also to tell you today when we go into the meditation later about what your word is, what your direction is, what your new name is, your overcoming name for 2019. I want to share with you some more Ernest Holmes. And the beginning of the Science of Mind book, you can see how well it's been used. It is gaff taped together. And just like Lessons in Truth in the beginning of the year, we start back with the foundations, we start back with the basics. And what we're talking about, we talked about this last week in the class, is the thing, it's called the thing itself, which is God, which is the divine urge, the creative impulse. And what he says about this, he says, to suppose that creative intelligence of the universe would create man in bondage and leave him bound would be to dishonor the creative power which we call God. Meaning, if we believe in that ever-loving God that is always in our favor, it is not going to leave us stuck and then just go, okay, you get stuck, but you don't. It doesn't follow logically unless you believe in that kind of a capricious God that is arbitrary. But we know that God is not. It is in our favor all the time. To suppose that God could make a man as an individual without leaving him to discover himself would be to suppose an impossibility. Individuality must be spontaneous. It can never be automatic. The seed of freedom must be planted in the innermost being of man, but like the prodigal son, man must make the great discovery for himself. And that's what we're talking about in that, with choice and free will, is that we have everything available to us at all times. It is our thinking that we are separate from that power and that presence that gets us into trouble and gets us stuck. We talk about unity as well, and we think, oh, unity, you know, and one of the things that Ernest Holmes says is unity does not mean uniformity. Everybody in this room has a different set of fingerprints. We are from the human race, but we all have different hair colors, and, you know, we might say, you know, I weigh the same as somebody else, but our bone structure is a little bit different. Our body mass index is different. You know, I might say that I'm 5'6", but there are other 5'6" people in the room that are, you know, leaner, stockier, tall, not taller, but, yeah, that didn't make sense at all. You know where I'm going with this. So the individualization of spirit in each one of us, we come from the whole. We are a part of the one mind, the one life, the one love. But we are individualized expressions of that divine power. And we are left alone to discover it within ourselves. And you say, well, that sounds like kind of a raw deal. Somebody should have told me I was divine, right? I didn't get that when I was little, did you? Not that I was divine. I was maybe cute. I might still be. Cindy. Thanks, honey. But the idea, this is the thing. If you peel back the layers of the logic behind this, when we think about all the things, we like to hang out with people that like the same things we do. We like to hang out with people that think the same way we do and speak the same way and like the same kind of music and all of those things. But there is so much variety, infinite amounts of variety and potential for expression and growth. And we think about that, we say, boy, you know, it would just be better if everybody just would do what I like. And we know that that doesn't work. Because we are individualized expressions of the divine. We shouldn't be the same. And it is our job, and I say this a lot, that's why there's 7 billion people on the planet, everyone unique and everyone, every single one, in its own way, is an expression of the divine. Whether we agree with it or not, whether we like it or not. And our job is to connect with that, connect with the inner, what is my divine purpose? What is my new name? What is my word for this year that moves me into greater expression, not just within myself, but within the world? Because as much as we talk about peace on earth, everybody should get along, you know, we should, what does getting along mean? My way or your way? If we do it this way or we do it that way. It's all a part of us. And it's honoring the sacred in all. We have that in our statement in the morning, in the first part of the service. Honoring the sacred in all. That means you can say namaste, and I recommend it highly, especially when somebody pushes your buttons. Do a silent namaste and really take the breath and say, I do recognize that we might not agree. In fact, I don't even see what your logic is about this, and I'm absolutely convinced that mine is right. But what we know is that it's all perspective. We all come from such unique backgrounds. Such unique backgrounds. Everyone in this room and the lives that you have touched and the lives that you will continue to touch will never be the same as anybody else in this room. But the one thing that we know is true, absolutely true, is that every single being in this room and on the planet is divine, whether you recognize it or not. So what we're going to do, of course, this morning is we're going to take those white stones, and I'll give you the logistics of how this is going to work. I'm going to take you into a meditation. You're going to write your new name. It could be a name, not like, it may be a new actual name, like George or Mary or Fred or something like that. But it's more likely just going to be a word, an image. It might even be a short phrase. What I will advise you on is if it is a whole sentence or paragraph, you're probably going to want to go a little bit deeper and open up a little bit more. And I will help you do that through the meditation. And then when we get to the silence, you'll write your name on your stone. You're going to hang on to it till the end of the service. We will finish the end of the service. When you go out at the end, there will be ushers that will collect your pen. You keep your stone. And reminding you that this is, I mean, I love it that it's a stone. I used the word touchstone earlier because it's small enough you can keep it in your pocket, in your purse. I tend to keep mine either on a windowsill or by my desk. And I have all of mine. In fact, I keep all of the ones from previous years. Because, and the other thing I'd encourage you to do is write the date on it. Write 2019 on it. Because when you go back to all of your stones, you can see how you have grown and progressed and moved. And you can look at that stone and say, wow, I remember when I had that word, where I was in my life at that time. It's pretty cool. It's a touchstone place for your growth. So we're going to move into that. I'm going to ask the guys to come up because we're going to do some music together to the meditation. And let's get to it, shall we? So I invite you to sit comfortably. Make sure your feet are uncrossed. That's the first indication to your body that you are willing to be open. Feet flat on the floor. If you're not already holding the stone, I invite you to put it into your hand. Just let your energy permeate it, surround it. And breathe deeply. As you're breathing deeply, just imagine a brilliant white healing light coming in through the crown chakra, the top of your head. Imagine it surrounding you, enveloping you, gently swirling around you, wrapping itself around you from head to toe. Thank you. imagine it as a shower of healing energy, a warming energy, embracing you, lifting you, relaxing you. Allow peace and calm to envelop you, inside and out. Know that in this moment, every need is met and everything is in your favor. Know that everything is forgiven, and the only thing that is true about you right now is that you are purely, completely, and unconditionally loved. Everything is forgiven. And the only thing happening right now is divine intelligence. Every possibility, every bit of infinite potential that you are is available to you right now. And as you go deeper into that truth, breathe that truth. Open to the infinite intelligence that is ready to guide and inform you to your highest and best expression. And you can sit quietly if you would like to sing along. The words will be on the screen, but just sit and relax.
So I invite you now, as you get ready to receive, as you are willing to receive your new name, to know that you have everything you need to see this, to hear it, to be it. And I ask you to repeat to yourself quietly, my heart is one with the heart of God. And I am willing to open to it. My heart is one with the heart of God, and I am willing to open to it. My mind is one with the mind of God, and I am willing to open to it. Repeat to yourself, God is, and I am. Because God is, I am. And so ask, knowing this new word, this new name is divinely yours. Ask, knowing this word, this name represents purification, a clean slate, a new beginning. This is your touchstone. Ask, knowing that the answer is clear, unmistakable, and that all is well. So as we enter the silence, ask, what is my guiding word, my new name for this year? And when you're ready in the silence, you can write it on your stone. invite you to hold that stone up to your heart once you have written on it. Let it go into that place. Your willingness to be open brings with it joyful, easy confidence, courage, and commitment. And invite you with joy and with gratitude to speak silently to yourself your new name while you're holding it to your heart. Repeat it to yourself. Even if that word that came to you may not make sense yet, speak the I am. I am, and then say that word to yourself. I am. And knowing that that still small voice is ever present in every moment, guiding you as much as you are willing to be guided, as much as you believe. Let's breathe and anchor this. To listen to the still small